Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. During the coronavirus pandemic, we are worshiping exclusively online. This is a recording of our service. Thank you for joining us. Good morning and welcome to worship with Covenant Presbyterian Church on this Pentecost Sunday. Thank you so much for being with us today. If you have been worshiping with us online for a while and we don't have your contact information, I want to invite you to send us a Facebook message or email Carrie Christian, our office coordinator, at church@wdmcovenant.org. If you send us your contact information, you will receive our weekly email newsletter, and we will know a little bit more about you and have a chance to reach out and connect. We will share prayer requests later on in today's service. To share a prayer request with us, just send us a Facebook message or comment on this live video. We invite you to join us tomorrow morning for a yard work day at 10 o'clock. With plenty of help, we're usually done in just a little over an hour. Please call Deb Hayes for details about how to participate. Also coming tomorrow at noon, Covenant will join DMARC and other local congregations for an interfaith moment of recognition and mourning for the lives lost to COVID-19. A small number of us will gather outside the church building to ring chimes and acknowledge those who died during the month of May from the virus. In order to accommodate physical distancing, we're asking you not to attend in person, but to participate where you are. Our participation at the church building will be shared on Facebook Live. The best way for you to participate right where you are is just to go outside if you are able and to sound a bell or some other musical instrument to recognize the number of lives that have been lost. There have already been more than 300 deaths from the coronavirus in Iowa this month. We will share the most up-to-date number of deaths tomorrow morning as soon as DMARC has determined that based on state statistics. After we sound the bells, we invite you to take a moment in prayer to acknowledge our shared grief before God. This is a chance for us to express our lament before God, who hears our prayers. And good news from San Isidro. The pastoral team was able to deliver fertilizer to the community of San Isidro this last week. They were able to benefit 47 families who are participating in the community and able to receive fertilizer. See photos coming in Tuesday's Covenant Corner, and a word of gratitude to all who support Covenant's mission partnership in San Isidro. On Pentecost, we welcome God's presence through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that person of God who is with us as near as our very breath. And so as we gather for worship, I invite you to begin with a deep breath. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice, you who bear Christ's name. The Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God rests on you. Alleluia. This is the story of that first Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, They were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Thanks be to God. On account of God's vast mercy, we have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Without fear, let us confess our sins. Almighty God, you poured out your Spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. We confess that we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace, speak the good news of your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit, and fill us with a flaming desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Beloved, hear the good news. Jesus carried our sins in his own body on the cross. He did this so that we might live in righteousness, healed and set free from sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. As beloved siblings, children of God, we are forgiven and set free. Beloved, may the peace of Christ be with you. I always have a show and tell to try to introduce the scripture reading and give us something to hang on to as we enter into that scripture reading. And I'm wearing my show and tell today. Every Sunday I wear a stole that is connected to the liturgical season, the day in the church calendar, not necessarily the calendar that the rest of the world follows. And so today is Pentecost, the day we celebrate the Holy Spirit. And so I'm wearing my Pentecost stole. This one is a gift from First Presbyterian Church in Grinnell, where I was serving temporarily as a supply pastor just before I was ordained. And so the stole is red, and it also has these bright celebrating flames on it, pointing to the Holy Spirit in that first scripture that we read from the book of Acts, the idea that the Holy Spirit comes like fire on us as God's presence with everyone in the church. And God's presence is what shows us how to lead. This was given to me as I was being ordained, as I was being moved into this role of leadership as a pastor. And this fabric over my neck reminds me that I'm here to serve God through the church, that I am here not to get credit for myself, but that I'm here for God's purposes and for the sake of what God is doing in the church. And that's what our scripture reading is going to talk about today. It's going to talk about how we serve and why we serve. Will you pray with me? God of life, send us your Holy Spirit. Make our hearts holy places for Christ to dwell. Teach us to speak words of hope and show us how to live in Christ's resurrection. Amen. The scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, as an elder myself, and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the glory, the authority of the elders. And all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It works out really nicely that we are ordaining and installing our incoming class of elders today. As we receive them into that role of leadership, we pray that the Spirit of God, the breath of God, fills them and gives them the gifts that they need in order to serve, just as Peter shared with us. On Pentecost, we celebrate the Spirit of God descending and filling the church, God's very own breath with us. And so I'm thinking about the leadership that our elders are called on to offer, and the presence of the divine breath in the church as we pray around news of people who can't breathe. There would have been enough irony today in celebrating the breath of God as we pray for patients who are continuing to fight the novel coronavirus that kills by suffocation. We recognize those elders not by station in the church, but by chronology, who are especially susceptible to that infection and the fatal complications that can come with it. And we keep ourselves mindful of the disproportionate impact of the coronavirus on Black and Brown people in our nation and our world, including this week an outbreak at the meatpacking plant in Storm Lake. And then we are praying this weekend for the breath of God, even as we recognize the choking, acrid smoke over Minneapolis and so many other cities across the country, and that knee on the throat of George Floyd. That's a painful reminder of the way that breath and power are so intimately connected. Peter asks us to use power differently in the church than the way that we see power used in the world around the church. And so I need to start today by looking at power, the way that power works in the world around us, that is, through force and intimidation. It doesn't take any courage to condemn the actions of the Minneapolis police officer, now former Minneapolis police officer, who kneeled on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 47 seconds after he was handcuffed and fully subdued. It takes no courage to condemn the inaction of those three other officers who stood guard and did crowd control as George Floyd's breath was choked out of him. We often give law enforcement officers the benefit of the doubt. We recognize that their job involves split-second decisions and the work itself is inherently dangerous. We are grateful for their courage. But there was no courage. There was no reasonable fear going on in the countless split seconds that made up George Floyd's murder. Fear is insufficient to explain the false 911 call that was placed against Christian Cooper in a calculated attempt to bring the power of the New York Police Department down on him simply for interrupting someone's illegal off-leash time at the park. There was no reasonable fear in the brutal attack on Darquan Jones here in Des Moines not too long ago. Whatever else happened in the mind of the now former police officer who killed George Floyd, that act was not about fear. That act was about power. That act was about the way that the racial dynamics of policing and the gross and ever-present power imbalances present in that situation. It was about power in that moment. I pray for African American communities in Minneapolis and in the Des Moines metro area and across the country. I pray for law enforcement officers whose jobs are more dangerous because of the actions of that officer and others. I pray for law enforcement officers whose jobs are more dangerous simply because of the deep racism that continually and pervasively infects our society. And I pray for people without power, for whom rioting is the only way to be heard and gain sustained attention to their pain and the injustice they suffer. And I pray for those whose voices are being co-opted by bad faith actors from outside their own communities. We need to talk about power in order to understand what Peter is saying to us, because Peter knows very well how the power of the world works. Peter would not have been surprised this week by the news across the United States. Peter knows what power in the world looks like, and he calls the church to be different. Peter saw Jesus suffocated by the power of the state. That's what crucifixion is. The nails holding the person to the cross are not what kills. The nails hold the body in a position that can no longer fill its lungs with air. It's slow and public and gratuitously violent as a way to kill someone. It is designed, crucifixion is designed to show who has the power and who doesn't. And so Peter knows and recognizes the way that Christ suffers, not alone, but with everyone who suffers unjustly under the powers of the world. He saw Jesus suffocate until he gave up his very own breath. And so when Peter brings up the sufferings of Jesus today, he's bringing it up in a way that is poignant and strangely hopeful on this day that we welcome the breath of God. It's hopeful because that's not the only moment Peter was there for. Peter was also there when James and John asked Jesus if they might be his second and third in command. And he heard Jesus say, "Human rulers work that way and lord it over others, but it's not to be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must become a servant." Peter was part of the argument over which of the disciples was the greatest, which had the best claim to the power that Jesus surely was going to leave in their hands. He was part of that argument, and he saw Jesus take a child, place that child in the center of the disciples, and say, this is how I come among you. Peter was there, gathered like we are gathered in all the places that we are, gathered in prayer on that Pentecost when he felt the Holy Spirit, the power of God, come and breathe itself into him and burn away all his old ways of being. And it was through the work of that Holy Spirit, not through the powers of the world, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, that Peter became the leader that Jesus chose him to be. And so I pray that Peter would recognize the way that we at Covenant try to practice leadership. In a little bit, we're going to ask the congregation, and that includes you, even though you may not have been with us in real time when we recorded the ordination and installation of elders. We will ask the congregation and ask you to accept the authority of the elders that we ordain. We ask the elders to take on that authority with the grace of God as God's gift to God's people in the church. Elders, we will ask you to serve with energy and intelligence, imagination, and love as you pray for and seek to serve God's people within and beyond the church, as you seek to serve God's people in every way, including the work of leadership. That prayer, that desire to serve, that's what marks power in the church as Jesus intended it. That's what marks the way that the power of the Holy Spirit works among us. That prayer and that desire to serve are what keep our hearts and our minds open to the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, that shows us how to be the church. We practice prayer and service with each other. When we invite the elders to pray for you in the church, for the world around us, and for each other. Prayer also lifts up our grief and even our anger for the pain and injustice of the world around us. Prayer teaches us to trust each other, not always to agree with each other, but always to seek the good for each other, and to see the good in each other, to see how God may be active in each person. We pray by spending time together contemplating what God may be doing. The elders on session are in fact reflecting on this very passage from Scripture each month at their meetings in order to wonder and be surprised at where God is calling us in the work of the church and in the world around us. So I invite you to pray with me for our elders, for the church that they lead by the power of the Holy Spirit, for the world we seek to serve and heal in Jesus' name. Let us pray. O God, I lift up the leadership of your church, the particular leaders of this particular church, and those leaders who step forward to lead your people in every congregation and denomination and gathering of your people. Fill us with your Spirit. And before that, give us courage in order to welcome your Spirit, to welcome your power at work that is not like the power that we see around us, but is the power of life, of reconciliation, of creativity, of joy and hope. Fill us with your Spirit once again, so that we might truly be your church in this place and all throughout the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. in faith, we cast care aside by setting our cares and the cares of the world before God. And so we lift up these joys and these concerns today. We ask for prayers for Sharon Hansen, who is a former East and Dowling High School girls basketball coach and a friend of Barb Storyahan. Sharon suffered a stroke on Tuesday, and she will have surgery tomorrow. We pray for a cousin of Shirley Harris, Becky. Becky and Ted and their three sons, as Ted remains hospitalized with COVID-19. We pray for Rosalie Sekovec, who is recovering with a broken arm after a fall on Thursday. We pray for the family of Linda Johnson, Bob and Marilyn Johnson's sister-in-law. Linda passed away on May 29th following a tragic accident in their home in Florida. We pray for the friends and family of Virginia Beach, who was a longtime member of the Cottage Grove Church. Virginia passed away last week at age 104. We pray for Jane Bolin, a friend of Alice Bell. Jane's husband died of COVID-19 recently. We pray for Bernie Saylor, who continues to fight COVID-19. We pray for Kelly, who is a daughter of our neighbors. Kelly has been fighting brain cancer, and that cancer has returned. And we pray for the people of Minneapolis, for African American communities across the country following the murder of George Floyd. We pray for all for whom these events and the unrest following them reawaken deep pain and sadness. And we pray for white communities, that they might have the grace to listen, the gift to discern in response to the news that they are witnessing. And we pray especially for strength and for courage for those who make peace. And we bring all these prayers before God. Maker of all things, in the beginning you created heaven and earth. In the fullness of time you restore all things in Christ. Renew our world in this day with your grace and mercy. By your Spirit, O God, transform our lives. Life of the world, you breathed life into the flesh you created. Now, by your Spirit, breathe new life into the children of earth. Turn hatred into love, sorrow into joy, and war into peace. We pray especially for the people of the Twin Cities, for African American communities everywhere, and for all who are entering into a time of renewed civil unrest. By your Spirit, O God, transform our lives. Lover of harmony, you desire the unity of all Christians. Set the whole church aflame with the fire of your Spirit. Unite us to stand in the world as a sign of your love. We pray especially for predominantly white denominations such as ours, who have power to act, that we might have ears to hear. And we pray especially for those who are being ordained and installed to leadership in this congregation. By your Spirit, O God, transform our lives. God of compassion. Through your Spirit, you supply every human need. Heal the sick. Comfort the oppressed. Lift up those who are in need. Befriend the friendless. Help the helpless. Be present with those who grieve. We pray for Sharon, for Ted, for Rosalie, for Linda's family, Virginia's family, for Jane and her family, for Kelly, for Bernie. By your Spirit, O God, transform our lives. Source of peace, your Spirit restores our anxious spirits. In our labor, give us rest. In our temptation, strength. In our sadness, consolation. By your Spirit, O God, transform our lives. Ever-present God, your Spirit prays for us with sighs deeper than words. Hear these prayers we speak and leave unspoken. By your Spirit, O God, transform our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Rain upon our dry and dusty lives. Wash away our sin and heal our wounded spirits. Kindle the fire of your love within us and guide us as we serve you. Through Jesus Christ we pray, saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We pause this moment before we move to dedicate our offerings and all the gifts that we offer in God's service, to dedicate specific, special, rich gifts that will be offered over the next years by those who are being ordained and installed to service on Covenant's session. We recorded this service of ordination and installation on Monday evening. My thanks to those who were with us then. And we lift up all those who are entering into this particular service today. So we invite you to join us in this service of ordination and installation. There are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them.
There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served.
God works through each person in a unique way, but it is God's purpose that is accomplished.
To each is given a gift of the Spirit to be used for the common good.
Today we ordain and install ruling elders who begin their service on the session. First, we recognize those elders who have completed their terms of service. We recognize Deb Kellogg, Wes Schieber, and Caitlin McClintock.
Having completed your service to the church's elders, we offer our deep thanks for your leadership, insight, and wisdom. Each of you has finished a specific task of discipleship in leading your church. We offer our gratitude as you return to the membership and pursue other ways of faithful service. While your specific tasks are ended, your discipleship and ordination to Christ your Lord continues. May God guide and keep you as you continue in your journey of faith and service as we seek to serve Him.
Let us pray. God, you call out from among the people leaders who will guide and direct our work on behalf of Christ our Lord, your Son. Look with favor upon the efforts which have been concluded, and open to these leaders more ways of faithful service to their congregation and to Christ their Lord. In His name we pray it. Amen.
On behalf of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the session of Covenant Presbyterian Church now ordains Adam Drake and Carsten Barker to the office of elder and installs them to active service. The session also installs to active service Elder Pam Reese, who has previously been ordained.
Adam, Pam, and Carsten, in the covenant of baptism, you have been claimed by the love of God, clothed in the grace of Jesus Christ, and anointed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit to share Christ's mission in the world. Now you are called by God through the voice of the church for new service and ministry in Jesus' name. And so we have a lengthy series of questions for you. So Adam and Pam and Carsten, I invite you to unmute your microphones so you can respond to these questions. First, do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge Him Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I do.
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal, and God's word to you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God?
I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions?
I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
This one's a double question. Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit?
I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
And finally, will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will, with God's help.
I will, with help.
I will with God's help.
I invite everyone who is participating in the service to unmute your microphones. These questions are for the entire congregation. Please respond wherever you are and whenever you are participating. Do we, the members of the church, accept Adam Drake, Pam Reese, and Karsten Barker as ruling elders chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do you?
We do.
Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do you?
We do.
And now you are welcome to mute your microphones again. And you are also welcome. I think just about everybody with us has been ordained previously as an elder. So I invite you to, this is the place where we normally lay hands on top of these three. So reach those hands out in blessing over these three as we pray over them. Gracious and eternal God, with joy we give you all thanks and praise. Throughout the ages, you have been faithful to your covenant people, whom you have claimed to be your own. In every time and place, you have chosen servants among your people to point the way to salvation. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your servants, Adam, Karsten, and Pam. Grant them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Give them humility and truthfulness, compassion and vision to show forth his gospel in daily life and in the life of the church. In the walk of faith and for the work of ministry, give to your servants gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor, and courage, and an abiding sense of your presence. Pour out your spirit of power and truth upon the whole church, that we may be for you a holy people, baptized to serve you in the world. Ground us in the gospel, secure our hope in Christ, strengthen our service to the outcast, and increase our love for one another. In everything we do, make us servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
You are now ruling elders in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
This is the place where I would love to walk down the line and shake each of your hands and say, Adam, welcome to this ministry. Pam, welcome to this ministry. Karsten, welcome to this ministry. We welcome and celebrate those three beginning their ministries as elders, but they are not the only ministry of the church. Children of God, we all are chosen by God to become a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. At Pentecost, we look especially to the ministry of our children, youth, and young adults with whom God has called us into community. The psalmist reminds us that our faith is established from the beginning. God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. God's youngest family members need support in order to build their full potential in both faith and life, and all of us have a role to play. Through the Pentecost offering, we support the development of children, youth, and young adults, not only in our own community, but throughout the country. A portion of the Pentecost offering is retained by covenant to support our own youth. These funds this year will provide the seed money for a youth mission trip to take place next summer, the summer of 2021. Covenant, our mission partners, and all who participate in the life of the church welcome your support. You can give online at wdmcovenant.org/donate or mail your check to the church. And we dedicate all the gifts that we share today. Good and gracious God, just as you poured out the power of your Spirit on the day of Pentecost, pour out your power upon these gifts and the very lives that we offer to your purposes. Teach and inspire our young people to dream dreams and to follow those dreams in serving you. May all that we offer in your name bring about a vision of your gracious and sovereign realm of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ is risen. Everything is complete. So join in prayer, love each other sincerely, serve each other as good stewards of God's gifts. In everything, let God be honored through Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, one God, to whom be honor and power forever, always. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.